Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast. Have a listen to this. Did you know what it was? That was the sound of soap being halved. How did you feel when you listened to it? Relaxed? Tingly? Annoyed? Wondering what on earth we're doing? Well, for some people, sounds like this, or of the fold of a paper napkin, a whispering voice, the pop from a jar lid being opened, hold a kind of magic and leads to a wave of sensation sweeping the body. The feeling is known as ASMR, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's described as a pleasurable tingling that begins in the head and scalp, shimmies down the spine, and relaxes the entire body. It is so sought after that some ASMR channels on YouTube have millions of followers and billions of views. Fans claim that ASMR can help with insomnia, anxiety, and depression. Others simply enjoy the brain tingling effect. So what is the science behind this? Why are some people hooked while others really can't understand what's going on at all? Dr. Craig Richard is a man who knows more than most about ASMR. He's a professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University, founder of the website ASMRuniversity.com, and author of the book Brain Tingles. Hello, Craig. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you, Susan.
Craig, how did you first learn about ASMR? When did it come into your life?
I was listening to a podcast, and the episode was about ASMR, and this was in 2013, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that term. And when they said the full name, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, the skeptical side of my brain turned on right away because I'm a physiologist, and I'd never heard that term. And they were explaining how there's all these videos, as you just explained, on YouTube to relax people, and they get this amazing brain tingles, and I was skeptical, and I was about to turn the episode off and delete it until they gave the example of the TV painter Bob Ross, who, when I was a kid, I would come home from school, turn on his painting program, and his voice and his movements and the tapping of his paintbrush on the canvas relaxed my brain so much that I usually just felt asleep halfway through watching him. And they had my attention at that point. I was like, okay, that's an example from my childhood. And then they gave more examples, like when you go to the hairdresser and they lean your head back and they run their fingers through your hair. I'm like, okay, that does it. And then soft voices, there are certain voices. It's like one out of 20 voices that people have, and it just super relaxes me. And from that point, I became really interested in learning more. Unfortunately, though, in 2013, there wasn't a single scientific publication, but that has slowly kind of started to evolve now.
So if there were no publications in 2013, how long has the idea of ASMR been around for them?
The specific idea of the concept of these types of triggers, you know, people talking softly and demonstrating something to you, that concept of ASMR started in 2007. The word wasn't coined until 2010, so it makes it strange to talk about. But in 2007, someone started an online forum chat just saying things like, when I interact with certain people and they show me something and they demonstrate something to me, that their voice and their actions just super relax me and make my brain go fuzzy and give me this tingling sensation in my head. And that forum discussion just led to a lot of Me Too comments with more examples. And all these examples that are in this original online discussion are what we see a lot of the most popular ASMR videos doing today. So it really was the first global discussion.
And so it really came to having the internet in a way to be able to share these across the globe and for people to come together and go, I'm experiencing this.
Yeah, because it's not a negative reaction. When you have a pain, when you have, you know, what you might call a disorder or something, you will talk about it to your friends, your family, your clinician, you know, you tell the world. But when you have this subtle, relaxing feeling in situations in a way that aren't that strange, like when you just feel relaxed when you're with your best friend, when you feel relaxed when you're with a teacher who's really kind, there's something that's not so strange about it. But yet what we're discovering is not everyone feels this deep feeling of relaxation in situations like that.
What kind of sensations then do people experience? I mean, you described being so relaxed that you fell asleep while watching the painting program. What are the other kinds of experiences or sensations that people have?
Yeah, the primary physical response are the brain tingles. They might call them head tingles or scalp tingles. And they're light, they're staticky, they're almost sparkly. They're not goosebumps. They're not the external wave of goosebumps you might feel to music or even to a cold chill. But they're more internal and they're more subtle. And they might travel down the spine into the rest of the body. The psychological or emotional or affect feeling that people have is deep relaxation. That's number one. We see that in our studies. We see that in other studies. And then a feeling of almost wanting to fall asleep. Sometimes you're just enjoying it so much you don't want to fall asleep. And a lot of people use the words comfort to describe it.
Now, you have experienced, as I said, this yourself, not just the painting man, but you've discovered many other things since then. One of those is slow tapping. So let's have a listen. You need to listen carefully. Now, we don't want you falling asleep during the interview, obviously, but how does that one make you feel?
Pretty good. But there is a more important, bigger picture to ASMR than just the sound. Mm-hmm. And so I would almost predict that the majority of people listening right now are not feeling ASMR, because those tappings and the paper crinkling and even the jar opening sounds, they really need to be part of a situation or a scenario where you're talking to someone and you're with someone who's already caring. And then they're making those sounds in the situation because they're teaching you something or they're demonstrating something to you. And so what it really is that because they're being kind to you, your brain relaxes. Your brain is telling you, don't run away. This is a good person. And because they're making light sounds and then moving gently, that's more confirmation that this is not a dangerous person, and just to remain where you are. And the body tells us to remain where we are by releasing things like oxytocin. It says, you're with someone who's kind, you can relax. Don't be afraid. They're not a threat.
If you need to be in a place or a space where you're with someone who you know cares about you, then how do all the YouTube videos work? Do people form a relationship with the people who spend an hour whispering to them?
Right. That is definitely part of the bizarre part of it, because it's easy to understand that when you're with a trained clinician, you know, when you're with an expert painter, you know, and they have a kind disposition, that you would feel relaxed. Like, that's not so mysterious to people. But how is it that you can watch a video of someone you don't know, and they don't know you, but they're acting like they know you? And I think the simple answer is pattern recognition. Our brains just recognize patterns. If you're watching a scary movie and you feel scared, that's also just as mysterious. You consciously know that whatever's in that movie can't hurt you, but you look away, but you want to turn it off. Or you feel that feeling of fear. Well, it's the same concept. If someone in a video is expressing a lot of kindness and care towards you, your brain just recognizes the pattern of that. It didn't evolve with videos. It evolved with that straightforward stimulus of the sights and the sounds. And so it does react, for the most part, not for everyone, as if the person is right there in front of you.
Our guest on Nightlife is Dr. Craig Richard, a professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University. We're talking about something called ASMR, or Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Now, if you have found that you have experienced this, I would love to hear from you, 1-300-800-222. So, Craig, I wonder if the treatment that we receive as a child, when we might have parents who whisper to us or care for us, whether part of the way that works so well is that it takes us back to that time when we were incredibly well cared for.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a time machine aspect, or you're feeling relaxed now because you felt relaxed as a child. I think it's simpler than that. It's if you compare the deep relaxation you feel to ASMR to the opposite feeling of the alert response. Almost all babies are born with an alert response, which is if you make a loud noise, they startle. Mm. So it's also called the startle reflex. And they will cry easily because that's a signal of danger. And so that's their reaction to danger. It's just pattern recognition. And a lot of people will carry that into adulthood for all the correct reasons, that loud noises and fast movements can still be a threat. And we still have that startle reflex as we get older. So really what we're doing is just maintaining something that probably all infants are born with, or at least more so from birth, which is this ability to be soothed by people that are caring for you, which is exactly what an infant needs to survive. They need two key things. They need to know who not to trust. That's their startle reflex. That's when they react negatively to sharp sounds and fast movements. But they also need the other extreme, like who do they trust? And so when someone lowers their voice, touches them lightly, makes slow, gentle movements, it causes them probably to release oxytocin, which is driving this ASMR response, in my opinion. And we just maintain that as we get older, because that's still going to be helpful for creating healthy relationships.
So why is it then that a sound can be comforting and pleasurable to one person and trigger this response, but the next person feels nothing at all and wonders what on earth is going on?
Yeah, and there's a similar mystery to food. I'm not a fan of raw onions. Other people love raw onions. There's nothing inherently dangerous about an onion that I should fear it. But gosh, I almost have this gustatory fear of raw onions. And sometimes it comes down to genetics, that they have shown for certain foods, like cilantro. Some people who love cilantro have a certain genetic disposition for it. That's coriander in Australia, by the way.
We're always a bit confused by what this cilantro business is.
What is this cilantro business? Coriander. Oh, thank you. So that has a genetic explanation for it. It could be a genetic explanation because you're right. There are some people that really dislike whispering. They dislike tapping. They dislike crinkling. And that does have a term for it. If it's an extreme dislike, it's called misophonia. And there has been shown a genetic link for misophonia, but no one's shown it yet for ASMR. But it would make sense that there could be one, or it could be something conditional that you're raised in. Maybe it's part of your culture, not so much maybe a national culture, but just if all your friends said, hey, you know, I've been watching these ASMR videos and I really like them. When you turn on that first one, you're walking into that with a positive expectation, which, of course, is known well in psychology as resulting in how you feel about it, and vice versa. If three of your friends told you that they watched ASMR videos and they hated them, then you're going to walk in with negative expectations. So it's probably a balance of genetic and environmental.
Mm. Now, there seems to be a pattern which you referred to, particularly in the videos of YouTube, of attractive women whispering softly into microphones. One of the most popular is from a woman called Maria. Her channel is Gentle Whispering. Let's have a listen.
In this video, I am going to show you my collection of masks, face masks. As some of you know, I'm a huge enthusiast of facial masks.
Gosh, it doesn't seem to be much about the content, does it? Just talking about face masks there.
And that's a great point. And that's one of the things that kind of separates ASMR from like guided meditations. Because people who do guided meditations tend to talk in a very soothing voice. But with guided meditations, it is also about what you say as well as how you say it. But you're right, with ASMR, you can take that voice. Maria's voice is amazing, I think, for ASMR. She can read the phone book and it would just do it for me and for a lot of people. So it's the voice, it's the characteristics of the voice, regardless of what they're talking about sometimes.
Right. Now, I suppose some people, having a listen to Maria, would say, look, is there a sexual element in this?
Well, no, it's not a sexual response, and that's been shown by 3 different studies, which means that when you ask people, what are you feeling when you're feeling these brain tingles and this relaxation, are you feeling sexually aroused? And the strong majority say no. For those that do say yes, what they're saying yes to, because we see this in our study, because they're able to write a comment and explain, you know, why they said yes or no, they almost always say it's just because the person in the video they find physically attractive. And so it's not what they're doing, but it's part of who they are that might kind of contribute to that. But you can also find ASMR videos where the person in the video is clearly trying to generate a sexual response. So what they're adding into their videos is sexual behavior, sexual sounds, and sexual imagery.
What are some of the more interesting triggers that you've come across? I mean, whispering is very common. What are some of the more extraordinary ones that you've come across?
Well, I guess I find them all extraordinary in a way. Just that something like paper crinkling can soothe you, because it's nothing that I ever considered until I started seeing this list of relaxing triggers. When I do like it, when someone's reading a magazine and they turn the page slowly or they touch the page, and there's a curious one I think within there, is when people's fingers stick to magazine pages. You know, that little kind of sticky sound.
Yes, yeah.
And that is an ASMR trigger sound. You can find these videos of the artist just touching objects. You know, usually they're plastic type objects, and just pulling their fingers off these plastic objects to make that subtle sticky sound. So that's probably one of the more curious ones.
Do the sounds lose their effectiveness over time? And if someone was to listen to the sound of paper crinkling every night to get themselves to sleep, would that effect wear off over time?
Yeah, there's a lot of reports, and we see it also in our study. About 35% of our participants reported losing the ASMR feeling for a temporary amount of time. And what it's correlated or associated with is frequency. So like you mentioned, if you're using ASMR every night, or it's actually more frequent that you're watching it several hours a day, that does lead to what's referred to in the ASMR community as ASMR immunity, but scientifically a better term is ASMR tolerance, because your brain is probably just getting tolerant to that kind of stimulation. And so there's probably receptors getting downregulated. So if people stop watching ASMR videos for several days or a week, usually the ASMR feeling comes back. I like to think of it as anti-addiction. It's your brain's way of telling you, you've watched enough ASMR videos, go do something else.
There are some sounds like squishing or the sound of food being eaten that are very popular on ASMR channels, but to a lot of other people would be so off-putting. You might want to turn your radio down for the next 20 seconds if that sound of someone chewing in your ears doesn't float your boat. But here's another example. I really can't figure out how that would be relaxing. It's so different to the whispering.
That clip is not traditional ASMR style chewing or mouth sounds. That's more, I'm not sure of how to pronounce it, mukbang, where these are the videos of people just eating, and they're purposely exaggerating their chewing sounds and their eating sounds, but they still have a lot of followers, and there's still a whole group of large group of people who do enjoy that. But for ASMR, it would have to be, or should be, a lot more subtle than that, not the hard crunching. But you're right. There are some people who will hear that clip or even ASMR chewing, and they will be repulsed by it. And there's some people that hear those clips and they really enjoy that.
So what percentage of the population do you think is ASMR sensitive or receptive?
Yeah, no one's done a random population sampling yet to know for sure. My guess is 20%. And I base that roughly off one of the things you mentioned at the start, was some of these video channels have millions of subscribers and billions of views. So whatever the number is, it's significant. We're not talking about 10 to 20 people in the world. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'd look at is for misophonia, which I mentioned before, is this extreme dislike of sound. That has been, had some studies to show what is the percentage. And about 20% of most people experience this extreme negative reaction to a lot of the similar triggers.
And presumably a lot of us are sitting right in the middle then and not really experiencing one or the other.
Exactly. It's a spectrum. So there's 20% that probably will be super relaxed by crinkling and tapping and whispering. There's 20% that will be annoyed, angered, and can't shut off the video or run away from the situation fast enough. And then everyone in the middle is on a spectrum of that.
Fascinating to talk to you. Thanks so much for introducing us to the concept of ASMR on the Nightlife program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
That is Craig Richard, who is a professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University, founder of the website asmruniversity.com, and also coordinator of the ASMR Research Project and the author of Brain Tingles.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.